Word of Truth broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is through men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. In the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve, welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning with verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for thy word. We praise thee for thy warnings, for thy commandments, for thy precepts, for thy promises. We thank you for thy love that comes from thy precious word by the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us of thy love and of thy grace, worked in our hearts by thy Spirit. And so we do pray that thou wilt manifest thyself again this day for the heart of each and every one who listens. Deal in mercy and in love, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
I love to tell the story and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our hearts are made to rejoice in the way our God is dealing with the souls of men and the open doors that He has given us to get out His Word and His truth in this hour. And we thank each one of you for all that you have done in this behalf, especially for praying for us. Continue to do it. Did you write for your free book that we're giving away this month entitled The Method of Grace by John Flavel? This will be the last time that we'll offer it. In The Method of Grace, Brother Flavel thoroughly outlines the work of God's Spirit in reading and applying the redemptive work of Christ to the believer. You, my dear reader, when you read it, I believe your heart will be searched and your faith challenged and enriched as you see God's method of grace with His people. We want to put this book in your hand. Would you write for it? It's free and postpaid. Ask for it by name, The Method of Grace. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. So far in our studies on the subject of the sin of covetousness, that sin which the 10th commandment warns us against, we have seen that it proceeds from the depraved heart of man, from where all sin proceeds, as Mark 7 tells us. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Also from the Word of God we have seen that this sin of covetousness is a sin which engrosses the heart of man, holds him captive, deceives him, and causes him rather to be damned in hell than to give up his evil ways. Listen to Ezekiel 33:31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And again, 2 Peter 2 shows us, listen, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, fallen the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. This is the heart of deceived man. Again, the Word of God tells us that this sin of covetousness is one that leads to foolish and hurtful lust and a departure from the faith, according to 1 Timothy 6:9-10. Listen to God's Word. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in perdition and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What an awful thing this sin is, that the man who commits it and practices it brings upon himself foolish and hurtful lust and drowns himself in destruction and perdition in hell. It's a sin which causes a man to turn from Christ, from the faith, the love of God, from peace and hope and joy, and pierce himself through with many sorrows, and the greatest sorrow of them all, to be excluded from the kingdom of God and His Christ, as Ephesians 5:5 tells us, for this you know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Oh, my friend, what a state to be in, piercing yourself through with many sorrows, with many foolish and hurtful lusts, drowning your never-dying soul in destruction and perdition because of this unsettable desire, this insatiable desire of getting the world. My friend, when God says the world passeth away and the lust thereof, why do you hold on to this sin? And the question is asked, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And the answer is that it profit him nothing. For Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. And Revelation 21:8 says the second death is hell. And the judgment awaits every individual outside of Christ. And my friend, this might be soon, because it will happen when the Lord comes back. Listen again to 2 Thessalonians 1. He tells us there that when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This sin sends men to hell. Are you listening? Now, with all that has been before us in our studies, and since God's hatred is shown against this sin by bringing the unrepentant sinner into judgment because of it, let us look today at those things whereby we may be able to discern how our hearts stand before God in regard to this sin. You see, dear friend, the question is, how may we know when our hearts are given to covetousness? And I'm glad you asked that question, for I want to answer it. That's our subject for today. Will you listen? First, I would say that a man is in the grip of this sin of covetousness when his thoughts are wholly taken up with the world. You see, dear friend, a good man's thoughts, made good by the grace of God, are in heaven. He is thinking of Christ's love and eternal glory with him. His conversation, his citizenship, is in heaven, from whence he looks for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change his vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to Philippians 3. You see, he has set his affection on things above, and not on the things on this earth, according to Colossians 3. And where his treasure is, there is his heart also, as we read in Matthew 6:21. But not so with the covetous man. His thoughts are in the world. His mind is wholly taken up with it. He can think of nothing but his shop and his farm, his work, his house, his family, his pleasures. He can think of nothing but how he can get on in this world. How can he make more money, own more things, get more interest on his money, find more time for his fishing and hunting and bowling, or any of 100 things that will satisfy him on this earth. You see, the covetous man is always plotting and projecting about the things of this life and has no concern about the true riches which are found only in Christ. Oh, my friend, where is your heart? Is it set on things above where Christ is? Or is it set upon things upon this earth? Is it taken up with the things of this life? Is it said of you, as it was of the thorny ground hearer in Matthew 13? He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Because your heart is taken up with this world, with your covetousness? Or have you laid up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where Christ is, and your heart is set upon him, his glory, his grace, his love, and all that he is and what he has done for your never dying soul by his work of redemption? My friend, where is your heart? In the second place, I would say that it is said of a man that he's given up to covetousness if he takes more pains to get the things of this earth than the things of heaven. You see, a covetous man will take many a weary step to get the world, but he will take no pains for Christ or heaven. He will stay up late, miss his sleep, sacrifice wife, home, the children, or do anything so that he can have money, drink, pleasure, hunting, fishing, fame, and honor. But he will not take any time to read the Word of God, to pray, and to listen to the preached Word, to seek after Christ with his whole heart, that he might be saved. You see, a covetous man, because of the natural depravity of his heart, will pursue after the world and never cease till he has got it. But he neglects the things of eternity. Oh, my friend, is this your heart? Now, if salvation was to just drop into his soul like a ripe fig if he was laying under a fig tree, he'd take that. But he will never put himself out too much, never sweat too much, or give too much trouble to obtain Christ or salvation. Listen to me. He hunts for the world, but he only wishes that he might go to heaven. My friend, where is your heart? In the third place, I would say a man may be said to be given to covetousness when all his speech is about the world. You see, a sign of a godly man is that his speech is seasoned with grace, and his tongue talks of Christ and his person, the things of holiness and godliness, the things of heaven. And why? Because Christ is in his heart. He rejoices in the things of Christ and desires to converse with the children of God. For the speech of the children of this world wearies the child of God. Not so the covetous man. His breath, like a dying man's breath, smells strong of the earth. For out of the abundance of the wicked heart he possesses, he speaks. He might speak of the church, he might speak of religion, he might speak of his pastor and the number of people that go to his church. He might speak of the social functions of his church and all the things about his church, but he is still speaking of this earth because he has no place in his speech for the precious things of Christ, for he knows nothing of him. But most people only speak of the world and of its pleasures, its fashions, its politics. Most only speak of the things they see on TV, those things that are sensual and lustful and blasphemous, and that which dishonors God. My friend, your tongue is the mirror of your soul. Did you know that? And your speech betrays you. Your speech is about the world, and therefore you are a covetous man. My friend, how do you weigh up against this? Don't turn me off. It's high time that you were made to think, because you're going to have to go out and meet God one day. And how are you going to do it if you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ? What a rude awakening to go out of this world thinking that all is well, and all you've ever had is a covetous heart after the things of this life. Listen to me now. I would say in the fourth place, that a man is given to covetousness when he so sets his heart upon worldly things that for the love of them he will part with Christ and heaven. Oh, will you listen to me? When Christ said to the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, "Sell all and come and follow me," he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He would rather part with Christ than with all his earthly possessions. Listen, my dear friend, when it comes to the critical point, whether you are going to relinquish your estate or Christ, your possessions or Christ, this world or Christ, your friends or Christ, your family or Christ, and you would rather part with Christ than any of these things, which will pass away at last, then it is clear that you are possessed with the demon of covetousness. And oh, my friend, I would ask God to break my heart. It would please him today to open your heart to let you see that you're in this covetous condition. Oh, how many have sold Christ for less than the 30 pieces of silver like Judas did? Did you know that Esau, Jacob's twin brother, sold his soul for a bowl of red beans and rice? And my friend, you are selling your soul for something just as trifling as that. If you have chose anything of this life over against the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's love gift to sinners. I ask you, what are you selling your soul for? Your pleasure? Your lust? Your money? What is it, my friend? Think with me now. These messages are calculated to make us think. This is a damning sin, this sin of covetousness. And I've been sent by my master as his ambassador. I'm on his errand to preach and to teach his word, trusting that by his spirit he will open your heart. Again, in the fifth place, I would say that a man is given to covetousness when he overloads himself with worldly business until he has no time for God, his Christ, his word, his service, nor fellowship with his people. You see, this sin of covetousness, this insatiable desire for getting the world, so eats at a man's heart that he has no time for anything else but to make money, to get rich, and accumulate the things of this life. He has no time to pray or to seek the Lord. He has no time for eternal things, for he is eaten up with the things of this earth. And he makes money for only what it can buy him of the things of this world. He gives no heed to the words of our Lord in Matthew 6:23, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And what are these things? These things that are needed for life, for food, for drink, for clothing and for shelter. Our God said he would give us these things. And my friend, I can tell you truthfully that he does. I'm a living example of what God is able to do in the heart and life of a man when he seeks the first, the kingdom of God by his grace and his righteousness and all these things. God said, he adds unto us. And my friend, I say that he does. I know that he does. And he's never failed. Well, my friend, has the Holy Spirit ever convicted you of this sin of covetousness? This insatiable desire for getting the world and all its pleasures? Would you remember what 1 John 2:15, 16, and 17 tells us? There we are told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. My friend, did you hear that? This world's going to pass away. Everything that's in it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is all going to pass away. And you're going to be made to stand before God empty-handed if you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me now. The will of the Father is that we repent and turn to him from our sins. The will of the Father is that we would believe on his Son whom he has sent. The will of the Father is to lay down the arms of our rebellion and to seek his face and grace, to follow after righteousness and true holiness, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. The will of the Father is to forsake our way, our thoughts, and to return unto him in repentance. His will is that we come to him in Christ for salvation, for pardon, for forgiveness of sin, to come to Christ for Christ's righteousness, for a new heart and a new spirit and a new nature, and in fact a new life. For if any man be in Christ, says 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then, my friend, we will hear and have the promise of John 6:39, where our blessed Lord promised us the greatest blessing in all the world when he said, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day." But, oh, my dear friend, to stay in your sin of covetousness and hang on to the things of this world will only let you hear those awful words in the day of judgment. The most awful words in the Scriptures, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." My friend, you don't want to hear those words. For when you hear those words, at the great white throne judgment, it's all over. It's finished then. I'm going to tell you something. You and I will never know what it means to be in Christ until that last great day when all shall be swept away and there is nothing. The heavens and the earth will be gone. And we stand before the righteous judge to give an account of all that we have done while we have been here on this earth. We will never know the value of Christ's blood. We will never know the value of Christ's righteousness. We will never know the value of Christ's great grace and the value of Christ's great love until we stand there with Christ as our only refuge and our only hope in that day. Oh, what a great mercy to be in Him and to stand in Him in that day. My friend, do you know Christ? Will you stand in Christ in that day? Think of it, dear friend, to stand there with all hope gone, all mercy gone, with all the things of this world swept away, and you face the righteous judge as a naked soul because you would not give up this awful sin of covetousness. You had to have the world and your way, and you were not willing to bow. Oh, my friend, think of it. You'll never know what it means to be in Christ until that last great day when all shall be swept away and you stand before the righteous judge to give an account of all that you have done while here on earth. I pray that you will think upon these things that we've cried to you about today, and that your soul will cry after God to have mercy upon you in Christ, and that you'll turn in repentance and faith, looking unto God for mercy as revealed unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for poor sinners. That's the reason His blood was shed. Oh, my friend, do you know it? Have you laid down at His feet? I pray that you have in repentance. You'll own a copy of this message. You can have it free and postpaid if you'll write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy to have been with you. May the blessings of our gracious God rest upon you. Goodbye, and may God bless you.